Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text before us today from the book of Jude is one of those passages in the Bible that can drive a good Lutheran crazy. We are uncomfortable with language like, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, and keep yourselves in the love of God. To our good Lutheran ears, such phrases seem wrong-headed because they appear to suggest that even if we are saved by the grace of God alone, we must do something to keep ourselves in God's favor. That even if we become the people of God by God's work alone, we remain the people of God by our good works. Passages like this one remind me of an observation by Dr. Horace Hummel, a former professor of this institution, who once noted, "It is a salutary practice to consider how many biblical statements would simply have to be rejected if they were made by a dogmatician." In saying this, Hummel was calling attention to the differences between the way that biblical theology operates and the way that dogmatic theology operates, and especially between the differences in the way the Bible uses language and the way that we use language in our dogmatic constructions. And that's an important distinction for this text, because Jude is not making a dogmatic assertion to the effect that our remaining in God's favor depends upon the strength of our faith or upon our doing sufficient good works. Rather, Jude begins what is the conclusion of his short letter by appealing to Christians to be mindful of the ways in which faith responds to the grace of God. Recall the context in which these words occur. The book of Jude begins, as he writes, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once delivered to all the saints." And then Jude hastens to add that he must contend with his audience in this way because, as he writes, "certain people have crept in unnoticed who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and so deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." Jude's concern is that already among the first generation of Christians, there had developed the tendency to take the grace of God for granted, to settle for what Dietrich Bonhoeffer would later describe as cheap grace. Bonhoeffer describes this cheap grace in these terms. Cheap grace is the grace which amounts to the justification of the sin without the justification of the repentant sinner who departs from sin and from whom sin departs. Cheap grace is the grace that we bestow upon ourselves. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. In our day, the popular saying that God hates the sin but loves the sinner feeds our tendency toward this cheap grace by driving an artificial wedge between the abstract sin and the real life of the sinner, as though sin were something like bacteria floating around in the air that just happened in some mysterious way to settle upon an otherwise innocent person, and which can be removed without radically changing the life of the patient. Thinking that way promotes the very kind of cheap grace that Bonhoeffer and Jude deplore. Today, this cheap grace is a cancer that eats away at the heart of the church in America and undermines our witness to Christ. Years ago, in my youth, I spent some time witnessing on the streets in some of the less savory parts of town. I just recently found myself in a nice middle-class suburban church in which I observed a young woman approaching the altar of God to receive the body and blood of Christ, dressed more provocatively than many of the street whores to whom I testified of Christ in my youth. And I hear far too many Christian young men making coarse jokes and carrying on pursuing their entertainments as if dying with Christ in baptism and being raised with Him to newness of life made no difference at all to their daily conduct. The words of Jesus echo in my ears, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored?" And can we wonder, then, that the world is not impressed by our testimony to Christ? And so Jude speaks to us, "For we need to hear His admonition and His call to discipleship, but we need most of all to hear that admonition and call to discipleship in the context of everything that Jude has to say." For Jude is careful to make it clear that as important as it is to live lives that reflect our calling in Christ, that living a pious life in Christ contributes nothing to our status before God. For this reason, Jude ends his brief letter and our text today by pointing to Jesus, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory. Christ Jesus calls you to a life of discipleship, but that life of discipleship does not keep you from stumbling. The Holy Spirit is at work in you to lead you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, but your walk does not present you blameless before the presence of His glory. Jesus Christ alone fulfills the law of God. Jesus Christ alone declares you forgiven. Jesus Christ alone keeps you from stumbling. Jesus Christ alone will present you blameless before the presence of His glory. You are called by God's name. Live in Him. And as you live, know that you have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. And the life you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. And so by the grace of Him who lives in you, join in the hymn that Jude teaches the whole church to sing. And now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before, in all time, now and forever. Amen.